Okay, let's begin by looking at the foreword by Sinclair Ferguson. This book is called John Calvin, Heart Aflame, Daily Readings from Calvin on the Psalms. Calvin on the Psalms 就是加尔文对诗篇的注释。Okay, so these are paragraphs taken from a much, much bigger book, 加尔文对诗篇的注释, Calvin's commentary on the Psalms. Calvin's commentary, do we have it here in the bookstore? Calvin's commentaries, Dr. Yap? Or Jing Jing, 我们有没有 Calvin's commentaries? 这里有没有 Calvin's commentaries? 没有, 22本, 22, plus sermons, 三十多四十本的。But 这里只不过是诗篇的 excerpts from the commentary on the Psalms. In the foreword, Ferguson tells us that, Calvin, a theologian, will he prime the pump spiritually for us? That means, will he give us a daily kind of a guidance or encouragement? It will surprise you because, paragraph 2, Calvin not only found the Psalms a mineral-rich quarry of theology, 神学的一个的矿藏, a quarry, a mine of theology, but also he discovered his own experience, 他自己的经验 mirrored in the Psalms.他就在诗篇里面看到他自己的经验。Calvin describes the Psalms as an anatomy of all the parts of the soul, 灵魂的解剖学。That's what he calls the Psalms. Okay. Now, Ferguson goes on to say, in the bottom of the page, Calvin has unusual understanding, logic, sensitivity, and illumination, four spiritual gifts. 他的了解,他的逻辑,他的敏锐的敏感度还有光照。 Let's turn the page, the second page of the foreword, second half of the page. Why this devotional book? Number one, these select comments from Calvin's much larger book, commentary, will take you through Psalms in an orderly way. See, 366 days out of the year, we walk through 150 Psalms, very orderly. The Psalms...or the Psalter, used to be the basic diet of Christians in many churches for hundreds of years, like Scotland, England, America, long time ago. The Psalms were the only items of praise. 他们只唱诗篇的。Okay. 1562, the first Psalter in England. Then it was revised 1690-something. 1640 in America, the Bay Psalm book.Bay means Massachusetts Bay, Boston. For many, many years, people in Scotland, England, and America only sang psalms every Sunday and at home. 每天在家里灵修就唱诗篇，在教会就唱诗篇。Believers would sing them daily at home, around the dining table. 早餐、晚餐吃完饭就是唱诗篇跟祷告。Almost without thinking...他们就将上帝的话藏在他们心里面哦。They were hiding God's words in their hearts. 将我们不犯罪得罪神 Learning not to sin against God. It was a lamp unto their feet, a light to their path. 诗篇就是他们的脚前的灯路上的光。Now that kind of knowledge of the Bible is unusual today. Right? 每天唱诗篇将上帝的话藏在心里面。And we们没有这样做。Are the weaker and poorer for it. 所以我们今天很软弱很贫穷包括改革中归正的基督徒 Number two, 为什么要这本书呢 Calvin's own explanation of the Psalms is remarkable. 加尔文呢他怎么样解释诗篇呢是非常令人佩服的 He follows the flow of the text. 他跟着经文的流程He seems to catch the developments in it. 经文里面的一些的进程一些 development 他抓到的 And he leads us with deceptive simplicity. 他很简单但这个简单呢不是简陋需要功夫的 He does not leap from the text. 他不会哦，突然之间跳出来就讲个故事 No stories. It's like he takes a deep breath and holds it until the truth of the passage and application has been grasped.就是他不停地等到解释完 这几节经文的意思然后应用 We badly need instructors who help us do this. 我们需要人教我们怎么这样做。看圣经究竟讲什么，不是讲一大堆故事啊。我们今天听太多故事啊。那因为讲道的人呢，他也知道你不讲故事，人家会睡觉。问题是睡觉那些人，以前没有故事的，讲道讲了一个半小时，sub sub睡，因为他后面很多应用 application。Number three， 为什么需要这本书 ？Calvin knew what he was talking about。今天的 commentaries today 讲很多的 literary analysis， but first paragraph at the end， Calvin offers us much more。He spoke of substance， 他讲经文的内容 ，rather than form and style， 不是在分析这个文学。For he had sat where David sat， he had experienced hurt where David had hurt。他走过大卫的那些的经验的。Modern scholars 一般呢 preach about the Bible， but Calvin seems to come to us from inside the Bible。From inside the reality described in the Bible， 圣经里面形容那个经验，他从个里面讲出来 ，not exegesis， 不是灵异解经啊。He had learned the meaning， he had learned what it means to love God with all your mind。The result is that God's word began to dwell in him richly， 哥罗西书三章十六节 ，Colossians 3:16， and he learned to live his life from inside the Bible。Number four。Calvin's way of reading the Bible was deeply influenced by the fact that the whole Bible was somehow related to Christ. Christ is the scope of all the scriptures. 耶稣基督是整本圣经的中心。He had meditated long and hard on this. 想了好久，默想了好久。And the fruit of this meditation shows. Because naturally, he brings us to see Christ in all the scriptures. 很自然的，包括诗篇整本圣经他都看到耶稣基督的。Alright? Did you see first, second, third, and fourth? 看到没有？刚才我读的两页。你看他们那四个字吗？ First, second, third, fourth? 看到吗？读书看，你看到我很快的 I jump from line to line. Why? Because I want you to see the key points, right? Of this particular forward. 好， take 3 minutes. Just read through this first, second, third, fourth.我们三分钟来读一读这里 First of all, second, third and fourth. Why this book? 为什么有这本书？ Okay, please turn one page and you see compiler's preface. Compiler's preface, 看到吗？ Now, second page of that. 你看到 preface, 再翻一页。It's page Roman numeral 10, X, page X, second half. Now this,One page and a half, I'll read and translate. 这里很重要的，所以我会一句一句的翻译啊。Because this is Calvin's own introduction to his commentary on the Psalms. 这里呢，是加尔文对他自己写的诗篇的注释，整本大大本的诗篇的注释，他自己写的引言 introduction. He says, I have been accustomed to call this book an anatomy of All the parts of the soul. 我习惯称诗篇这本书叫做灵魂各部分的解剖学。For there is not an emotion of which anyone can be conscious that is not here represented as in a mirror. 他说人啊，人所感觉到的情感没有一样不在诗篇里面反映出来的。Or rather, the Holy Spirit has here drawn to the life of all the grief, sorrows, fears, doubts, hopes, cares,perplexities, in short, all the distracting emotions with which the minds of men are likely to be agitated. 他说我们人的感情啊，各种这种让我们干扰我们的，忧伤、忧愁、惧怕、怀疑、盼望、忧虑、困惑，这里都有讲到。The other parts of scripture contain commandments.其他的经文很多的命令 ，but here the prophets 在这里呢 ，prophets 是指旧约的作者 ，the word prophets mean Old Testament writers 啊、，seeing they are exhibited to us as speaking to God， 这些旧约的作者他们看到他们自己啊，让我们看到他们自己在向上帝讲话 ，and laying open all the inmost thoughts, affections, 他们把他们里面所有最深的思想跟感情都暴露出来。 Call or draw each of us to the examination of himself in particular. 所以呢，这些诗篇的作者呢，就吸引我们，我们也要自我反省， in order that none of these affirmities to which we are subject and of the many vices with which we are bound may remain concealed. 好叫我们不再隐藏我们各种的 infirmities, weakness, 软弱 and vices, 很多的罪恶或者恶习，不好的习惯。 We see on the one hand, the flesh manifesting its infirmity. 一方面我们看到我们的肉体或者血气，彰显出这个血气的软弱。 And on the other hand, faith, putting forth its power. 但另外一方面看到我们的信心，展示它的力量。 And if it is not so valiant and courageous as might be desired, 虽然我们的信心呢没有它应该的那么的勇敢， it is at least prepared to fight until by degrees it acquire perfect strength. 至少呢，我们的信心愿意征战，直到有完全的力量。Next page. But as those things which serve to teach us the true method of praying in the right way will be found scattered through the whole of this commentary, I will not stop to treat of topics which it will be necessary afterwards to repeat. 他说我在这本诗篇的注释里面呢，会告诉我们如何祷告的。这些呢，在整本的诗篇注释里面都会有，所以我现在就不重复了。Only appear to me to be requisite to show in passing. 我只需要在这里的引言里面呢，要做一件事，讲一件事。That this book makes known to us this privilege. 这本书给我们认识到这个特权 privilege, which is desirable among above all other. 这个特权是比任何其他的特权更值得我们基督徒喜爱的。可慕的。That not only is there opened up to us familiar access to God, 这里呢不单单给我们看到我们可以经常的来到上帝的面前 familiar access, in other words, as a habit, we can draw close to God, but also we have permission and freedom to lay open before him our infirmities. 上帝允许我们，也给我们自由在他的面前敞开我们的软弱，which we would be ashamed to confess before men. 而我们呢，若在人面前承认这些软弱，可能是会丢脸。 Besides, 不但如此， there's also prescribed to us an infallible rule for directing us the right manner of offering to God the sacrifices of praise. 不但如此，这本诗篇也告诉我们呢，也无谬误的准则，就是给我们一个标准，怎么才是正确的赞美上帝。Which he declares to be most precious in his sight. 而诗篇的作者说，上帝在他的眼中是最宝贵的 ，and of the sweetest odor. 赞美上帝呢，也是最甜蜜的香气。There's no other book in which there is to be found more express and magnificent commendations. 除了诗篇以外，没有任何一卷书这么清楚的、直接的、荣耀的推荐 commendation. 推荐什么？The unparalleled liberality of God towards His church. 上帝对教会 church 就是基督徒啊，上帝对我们的仁慈恩爱 liberality 慷慨 and of all His works. 看到上帝所做的一切的事工呢，都是给我们丰富的恩典的。There's no other book in which there is recorded so many deliverances. 没有一卷书好像诗篇那样子，记录这么多上帝如何搭救他的百姓， nor one in which the evidences and experiences of the fatherly providence and solicitude which God exercises toward us. 也没有一卷书呢，有这么多的证据，这么多人的经验，经验到上帝是我们的天父，给我们的供应带领 providence 啊和恩典， and celebrated with such splendor of diction. 用这么美妙的言辞来赞美上帝的带领和恩典。And yet, with the strictest adherence to truth. 不过完全符合真理，很美，但是又符合真理。In short, there's no other book in which we are more perfectly taught the right manner of praising God. 除了诗篇以外，没有另外一卷的书那么的
完全的教导我们正确的赞美上帝的方法 or in which we are more powerfully stirred up to the performance of these religious exercises.
也没有一卷书好像诗篇那样子激动我们感动我们去做这件事就是赞美上帝。
Moreover, although the Psalms are replete with all the precepts which serve to frame our life to every part of holiness, piety, and righteousness,
虽然呢、啊、诗篇呢、啊、有各方面的教导吩咐我们怎么管理我们的生命每一方面都要追求圣洁、敬虔和公义
yet they will principally teach and train us to bear the cross.
但是最重要的诗篇教导我们的是要背起十字架
and the bearing of the cross is a genuine proof of our obedience.
背十字架忍受苦难就是证明我们的顺服
since by doing this we renounce the guidance of our own affections.
因为你这样做的时候呢背十字架就不是跟着你的情感跑了你的感觉就不是你的老师
submit ourselves entirely to God, leaving him to govern us and to dispose of our life according to his will.
我们呢就完全顺服上帝由他来管理我们按照他的旨意来过我们的生活
so that the affections which are the bitterest and the most severe to our nature become sweet to us.
那些对我们的罪性本性来说是最苦的最辛苦的最严厉的变成对我们是很甜蜜的
because they proceed from him.
因为这些的经验这些的感觉是从神的带领而来的。
In a word, not only will we here find general commendations of the goodness of God,
这里不单单看到诗篇怎么称赞上帝的良善
which may teach men to repose themselves in him alone.
上帝的良善就教导我们要完全依靠他在他里面找到我们的安息。
And to seek all the happiness only in him.
唯有在上帝里面我们才找到快乐。
And which are intended to teach true believers with their whole hearts confidently to look to him for help.
所以呢诗篇教导真的信徒也全心的仰望上帝帮助我们。
But we will also find that free remission of sins which alone reconciles God towards us and procures for us settled peace with him is so set forth and magnified as that here there's nothing lacking which relates to the knowledge of eternal salvation.
这里也给我们看到上帝怎么赦免我们的罪好叫我们上帝与我们和好我们与上帝有平安在诗篇里面讲得清清楚楚因此呢关于我们如何走向永恒的救恩这条路上呢它是完全的没有缺乏的缺欠的教导我们
Now that's Calvin'sHow he looks at the Psalms.
Now, we will spend 10 minutes,
现在下面10分钟, read some of these readings.
先来读一些这里面的。
You don't have to start with the first page.
你不需要第一章开始的。
Because every reading tells you exactly what it's based on. You can look at the Psalms themselves.
你可以先看看经文。
For example, you may know that Psalm 37, 37, And 73, Jesus' son talks about how it's not fair. Things are not fair in the world. Huh? The sinners, they get rich.
那你就看37章咯。73章咯。对不对
？51, 51章是讲悔改认罪的。It's confession of sin, repentance. And so on. So you can pick and choose. Spend 10 minutes reading slowly.And meditating on what you read.
我们花十分钟看看，读几篇，慢慢的读，思考。
So this book club meeting encourages you to read this particular book slowly with meditation.
我们要慢慢的阅读加上默想。
This of course is not everything Calvin has to say in the Psalms.
加尔文讲关于诗篇更多的，but this is enough for us to meditate.
This is the right way to meditate. This is the right way. This is the right way. Read the Bible, read some reading, and then turn it into...
Meditate is thinking about God, speaking to yourself. Outside meditation you can learn in the seminary. That's like da zuo, it's like yoga. In a seminary, essentially it's lan jiao da. Okay? 正确的默想就是 read the Bible, let it guide your thoughts, and talk to yourself about things of God. Prayer is talk to God about the things of God. Meditation is talk to yourself about the things of God. The Bible, and then these comments. 跟自己讲, absolutely, totally different. So we're showing you how. Just try it. Try it right now. Right now. Read the Bible, read a reading, and talk to yourself, the Bible, and from these readings. You need to quiet down. Take, if you're not quiet, quiet down. Yeah, quiet down. Quietly read. Just read. Okay, we will now break into groups of three. You go ahead and share what you read or your response. What or response? Okay, content or response? Try to draw your response from the content and not just talk about what happened at work today. No, we're trying to get you to read the Psalms and Calvin's reflection. So now you can stand up and find somebody else, you know, and group into groups of three. I'm not going to make you count 1, 2, 3. Just stand up and find somebody and group into groups of 3, 4 is okay, yeah. Okay, before we end this time of group discussion, I'd like you to raise any problems or difficulties you might have encountered as you were reading for the last 10 minutes. Okay? 我们小组讨论最后几分钟现在来讨论一下有什么困难，有什么问题。 Okay? 你读这些有什么困难，有什么问题。 Okay, can we group back? Can we come back into one big group, please? Okay, I'd like to hear some of the sharing from your groups, including the questions, difficulties, and so on. 孙长老, 你们的 group, 或者你自己, sharing, 或者 questions, 都可以。 Yes. Yes, it's not daily bread or daily crouton or bread crumbs. This is not daily crouton. It's daily 牛肉干. With a chew. Right? It's not daily crouton that you put on a salad. That's what the usual devotions are. Right? Yeah. And your response is different. Anything else? It's verse by verse, yes. Yeah, I was just reading Psalm 37. There are two of them. 嘉文用两天，就是这个editor用了两天来解释 Psalm 37. Oh, I read through the reading and then go back to Psalm 37. Wow, 他 I mean, 他里面讲的东西哦, he covers more than that little phrase that he puts on top. He's already looking at 5 verses back to 1. 5:1. And what he says is right on target. So you need to read the Bible 2 or 3 times and Calvin at least 2 times. And you gradually see he's not just taking off on some tangent. 他不是乱发挥的。 他真的是用一个从我们的心里面成圣的过程, our sanctification process. From that perspective, he explains that verse. Now you will find Matthew Henry to pretty much follow Calvin's example. Yeah. 今天你可以买得到亨利马太的东西，对不对？这里有没有？
有。Yeah.
你看不懂教文，你可以看 Matthew Henry 中文的。对。
不过中文只有四福音。
OK， 你可以试试看亨利马太，你别假如看不懂教文，不要紧的。 OK， 好。 Yeah. This is slow reading. Just the right medicine for Singapore Christians and for the U.S. as well. Yeah. Slowly. Slowly. And how? Anybody else? 我们这边?
If I Christ and man himself, who in the same thing, from a Kevin point of view, present our feeling and our difficulty as we carry across just you and God and myself to which we walk our personal journey, the kind of flavor of life emotion experience and express. We express it very well and give an insight into how we should cling on to the gospel in every occasion. That I find is really good. Like for example, she said about life in transitory, what we should focus on, what we find, look towards the truth of our sanctification, like what you said, rather than to be despondent and depressed by our deviant character. And then some, for me, it expresses my inner feeling very well. Yes, escape route or the way we should continue to walk, looking forward rather than looking down. So she was bringing out the idea of how she felt about
our days are numbered.
Our days are numbered.
And therefore you should be happy about it.
Yeah. Which reading were you doing just now? Which day is that?
Which is the 9th of August.
I'm sorry?
9th of August.
Here. Which day were you reading?
Okay, day 222.
Ah, 222. You know 222 is October 9th.
Huh? I don't know. I just went to the 9th of August. And then I thought, hey, it suits me very
well. Oh, it does say. I'm sorry. Yeah, it does say August 9th. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, something that is actually a transition towards eternity. So you need to plan about it and do something that is God's will, such that this will be the aim of the kingdom.
What is the title of August 9th? What is the heading? What is the first sentence?
Teach us to number our days of life, that we may gain a heart of wisdom.
Yeah, so wisdom is the main point.
Yes, and wisdom comes in the heart.
Yeah, because non-Christians can also realize that life is short. Buddhists and anybody else can realize that life is short. So we have to ask the question, what is the special Christian way of responding to the fact that life is just transition, just transitory? Yeah. Anything from the reading that struck you in here?
Which is actually a very simple sentence, that God is a member, and then there's one sentence that says,
yeah.
We then truly apply our hearts to wisdom when we comprehend the sharpness of human eyes.
Yes.
And being true believers alone who know the difference between this transitory state and the blessed eternity for which they were created will work out to be the aim of their life.
Yeah.
So I thought this is supposed to be a lifelong of seeking towards something that why you are created in the human form.
And what is it?
I do not know. He has for a
No, it says so right here. What does it say?
The aim of the life?
No. What is the aim of life? He tells you. Right here. You just read it.
Blessed eternity?
Yes. An eternity of blessing. That's the aim of life.
I thought it's more than that.
It's less than that. Less than what you... Because, it's, you see, or not less than, other than that. That is the aim of life. You see, many, many Christian books and speakers talk about how you have a good job, marriage, relationship, da, 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 da. That's not the aim of... That's the whole point. That is not the... Huh?
That is still human life.
Yeah, so the aim of life is to be with God forever. That's the aim. And how you get there, that's holiness, righteousness, godliness, sanctification, and so on. But the aim of life is heaven. But that is what the Bible says.
And that is the challenges of becoming the sort of life that we want to see.
I'm sorry?
There's a lot of challenges towards the kind of life that you're saying that is blessed in eternity.
Yeah.
Because before you can really reach that, there are a lot of things that you have to do.
No, the other way around. The other way around. You first fix your thought on the heaven, eternity. Then you look at the problems and the challenges. You don't first fix your challenges and then say, oh, you got to do all of this before you can fix your eyes on eternity. No, you first fix your eyes on eternity
And then all the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his wonder and grace.
Basically, I don't really think much about the blessed eternity. I just want to think of the Garden of the God.
I'm sorry?
Wait. The Garden of the God.
The what?
The Garden of the God. Eden.
The Bible tells us that the aim of life is to be with God.
Yeah.
And because we are sinners, we need Jesus Christ, so that with him in our hearts, we then truly believe that the aim of life is heaven. We are just one night motel guests here.
True.
Right? And so what Calvin and the Puritans try to teach us is you fix your eyes on that first and every day. And then we look at our problems, whatever it is, mostly it's from our minds and our hearts. Then we look at it from the point of view of heaven, not from the point of view of relationships, self-fulfillment, what it does for me, what is the most practical thing, right? That is available to us from the Holy Spirit and from the Bible. See, we don't have to go around look for it. And we'll never go back to the garden of God. We're going to the new garden, right? So we don't go back to Genesis, we go to heaven. See, the Bible moves from the garden to sin, throughout the Bible story, to Jesus Christ, to heaven. We don't go back to the Garden of Eden. We go forward to the heavenly city. And the first thing we do is commit our lives to Christ, he assumes that, because he preaches every Sunday, many times every week in Geneva, Calvin, to teach us to fix our eyes on Christ. Okay? So, you come to God first. I'm afraid that a lot of Christianity, a lot of preaching you can hear on internet and so on, talks about our relationship, our this, our that, right? How Jesus can help you fix that. That's putting the cart, that's putting the secondary before the primary, right? So you look, so Calvin is telling us to fix our eyes on eternity first. So this is Psalm 90 verse 12, right? It's very interesting. You pick this psalm, and he starts on August the 5th. Just like National Day takes a whole week to prepare, Calvin takes a whole week to talk about Psalm 90. Okay? August 5, day 218. And then you get to National Day and all the fireworks. Okay? The fireworks actually start at Preparation Day, August 5th. The Wednesday, is it, before National Day? I actually drove by a rehearsal one time. It was, yeah. So, Psalm 90 is one of my favorite psalms. You know when I enjoy preaching from Psalm 90 the most? Okay. At funerals. Yeah. I enjoy preaching at funerals more than any other occasion because that's when people get real. They cannot put on a mask. And weddings, everybody can put on a mask, a cover, right? At the funerals, there's no cover, nowhere to hide. And Psalm 90 is a wonderful psalm. And you see, so August 5, 6, 7, and 8, and 9, read the psalm itself. Just 12 verses so far, actually. And if you buy the book a morning and evening, or morning by morning by Charles Spurgeon, New Year's Day, the first day is about death. Very wise, Spurgeon. The first day is teach you how to face death. If you know how to face death and eternity, then you know how to face family, career, relationships, money, and so on and so on. Right? Very good. Okay, Sun Zhang Lao, anything to share? 中文也可以, 英文都可以? 对我们以往, if you read Daily Bread or books like that by one person, if they explain the Bible, that's fine. But if it's all from one man or one lady's experience, then pretty soon you face the limits of his wisdom and or her experience, like Streams in the Desert and books like that, or My Utmost for His Highest. Those are good books, but you can only read it for a month or two, and then they repeat themselves because they're talking from their personal experience. But you use the Bible as the center, and many pastors do write devotions based on the Bible, then those will be solid food. Yeah. Okay, we'll come over on this side. Anyone? You can talk about what other people say also, right? Not just for yourself, your group. Okay? 中英文都可以的.
74
is today, March 14th. Huh?
March 14th.
Okay, yeah, some. Okay.
So, the first paragraph, my head just started to come here.
Okay.
Because I need to read slowly to understand the meaning. Yeah, so, first paragraph, I won't talk about it. But the second paragraph, it really struck me. He restores my soul, he guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Then after that, Calvin explained the duty of the good shepherd to cherish his sheep, and when they are diseased or weak, to nurse and support them. David declares that this was the manner in which he was treated by God. Yeah. So this somehow is very.
Which means God wants to make our hearts new every day. Constantly, over and over.
Yeah, then for the next sentence,
uh-huh.
The path of righteousness, David means easy and plain path. Yeah, this somehow, I mean, because what I know is that Christians should walk the narrow path. Yeah, should walk the narrow path as described in the gospel. But why John Calvin commented that the path of righteousness is easy and plain.
Okay, let's take a look. First paragraph. Today, day 74. You say you have difficulty. Your mind gets all blocked up in knots. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. David relates how abundantly God has provided for his necessities. Now, pay attention to the word necessity. God abundantly provides for what we need, not what we desire. The heavenly shepherd had omitted nothing which might contribute to make him live happily and under his care. 就是说,我们所需要的, so that we live in a blessed way under God's care, not blessedly as we define it. 所需要的, God omitted nothing. Everything we need to live under God, God provides abundantly. He therefore compares the great abundance of all things requisite for the purposes of the present life which he enjoyed to meadows richly covered with grass and to gently flowing streams of water. So the great abundance of all things requisite for the purposes of the present life. Now what are the purposes of the present life? Sanctification. That is the purpose. You see, he's not talking about career, relationships and emotions and so on. He's saying that God gives us abundantly all the things we need for this life's purpose, like green grass and flowing water. Or he compares the benefit or advantage of such things to sheep cots, for it would have not have been enough to have been fed and satisfied in rich pasture, had there not also been provided water to drink and the shadow of the sheep cot to cool and refresh him. Yeah, I also don't know what sheep cot means. Is that a bed or something? Anybody from New Zealand been with sheep? Yeah, I don't know what that final four or five lines mean. Let's go down to the bottom, paths of righteousness. God is in no respect wanting to his people. The word wanting means lacking. This is 16th century English. Okay, it's not God doesn't want us. No. There's no way in which there's anything lacking in God to us, seeing he sustains them by his power, invigorates and quickens them. The word quickens means make alive. Okay? Quick means alive. Want means lack. And averts from them whatever is hurtful. And they may walk at ease in plain and straight paths. Okay? So there's nothing that's lacking. God sustains us. God makes us new, gives us new strength, makes us alive. And whatever hurts us, that means whatever hurts our sanctification, 对我们成圣有害的，他会拿走。 所以我们走的是容易的道路，直的道路。 That, however, he may not ascribe anything to his own worth or merit, David presents the goodness of God as a cause of so great liberality. 他说, all these good things are, David doesn't say, oh, because of me, or my worth. 我们没有功劳可取的。所以这些都是因为上帝的恩典或者是爱或者良善，所以上帝给我们这些青草地、溪水等等。 Declaring that God bestows all these things upon him for his name's sake. 是因为他自己的名字的缘故，上帝给我们青草跟溪水。 And certainly his choosing us to be his sheep and his performing towards us all the offices of the shepherd is a blessing which proceeds entirely from his free and sovereign goodness. Now, 上帝拣选我们做他的羊，上帝向我们完全尽了一个牧羊人的义务、责任，都是因为他的白白的恩典，他的主权的恩典。 See, in other words, God owes us nothing. 上帝不欠我们什么, right? So here's for 这段讲什么? For his name's sake. 为他的名字的缘故，他就讲这段了。是为了他的缘故。首先，恩典都是他那里来的，都是为了他的缘故。So we are not the most important person, God is. 所以字里行间他在表达一些的真理。Okay, anybody else on this side? Well, the Pastor Levi can help us summarize what are some of the things that were shared. On this side?
That thing was saying, God will make our house clean and straight. That is his difficulty. No, actually, it's our house is never clean and straight. It's a struggle and pain. But with God's help, to trust him, we go somewhere. So if in this, Kelvin is trying to explain it straight.
It doesn't mean easy. The words plain and straight doesn't mean easy.
Yeah, no,
straight.
But our path is never that straight. Our path is always up and down, and it's not that plain also because we have to struggle with our infirmity and at the same time we have to cling to God. So therefore, it's, if you describe it as plain and straight, it's like a little bit too plain about it.
Well, throughout the whole Psalms, Calvin talks about difficulties all the time. So Calvin doesn't say it's easy. Calvin and the Puritans, and there are many books by the Puritans here, constantly talk about pain and difficulty. What he means is, as far as life is about sanctification, it is a straight path. And God will make sure it is a straight path. Now, from our point of view, sickness, crisis, it's crooked. But from God's point of view, it's a straight path to heaven. In the sense that everything is put there for the sake of 成圣, sanctification, and progress toward heaven. So from God's point of view, for his name's sake, it's a straight path. It's filled with difficulty. It's filled with what we call twists and turns.
Yeah. Well, does it mean that it's back to the basics? Such that being a path to righteousness means that it's very simple in the sense that it has to be back to the basics.
What do you mean, basics? What is it? What are you talking about?
It will have to be something to do with what God's will is.
And what is God's will? So you use words like basic, God's will. So what are you talking about? Share it.
What he wants you to be a human.
What you?
A form that is godly enough to be like him.
Okay. The basic, yeah. What are you talking about? God's will is righteousness, obedience to his law, mm-hmm. holiness. See, we pastors and Christians throw the words God's will around in so many different ways. God's will just means what I want, including pastors, okay? Now, so basic means this. As you just shared from Psalm 90, seek wisdom, look at heaven as our goal, and then obey his law. Yeah, yeah. You're right, it is basic because too often we talk about all the things that are outside, that are secondary. Yeah. It's actually very basic, that's right.
is the call.
Huh?
Is the call. The basic call. And anything that has to do with the basic call is actually simple.
It's simple. Very simple. It's very simple. Life, however, is filled with difficulties and warfare. But if we see that the purpose is holiness, righteousness, and going to heaven, then we know that many things that should not draw our time, energy, attention, and so on, our heart away. Yeah, it's basic. It's God's will. In that sense, very simple. It's not easy. Yeah. Is the word easy there somewhere? You use the word easy. Yeah. That they may walk at ease in plain and straight path. Yeah. Well, you will see that he will talk about difficulties all the time. But ease is in the middle of difficulties. You experience that, the peace and the ease. The, at the bottom, as you say, back to the basics, then it's easy. Yeah.
Mm.
My yoke is, my burden is light. So you have to believe that that's what Jesus says, right? What does it mean? Yeah,
I feel it's
really
trying to console
the
difficulty of work.
Yes.
And he's trying to ask us not to grasp to family, to the things of the world, but to focus on family vision. I mean, this will make it cleaner and simpler because there are too many distractions. We stress ourselves and anger here and there. So, this is a word of consolation that actually
to comfort us.
Everything will be actually what we call shepherded by God, provided for and protected against. So, therefore, it's plain and simple if you know God's point of view. But as a struggling human being, our consolation is that we plain, but we still have to struggle in our flesh to make it plain.
Yeah, it's always basic, as you say, to focus on who God is and what He's doing for us. And then we ask, how should we respond? 上帝怎么一个上帝？他在做什么工作？ Yeah. Maybe you can help us. What are some of the things that haven't shared, Pastor Li Huai? Yeah.
I think what we have generally discussed here is that you take a while for almost everyone who is here to get used to the way of writing.
Yes.
But if we can get hold of the trust of each paragraph, that's the focus. You pay attention on that, and the rest are simply trying to explain in order to enrich the message that's being delivered. But once you get used to this way of writing, I think you benefit a lot, and you find the kind of thing you need. This is the first time I read this. I personally find that it's quite different from those usual part-time materials that we've been reading. Because here, John Calvin, as he's always done so, is that he always heightens the importance of the attributes of God in all things that's being dealt with here. At the same time, he's trying to address the struggle that we all
in our hearts.
But he brings up God first. The attribute of God, how real God is, almost in every pages that's written here. And before he really pinpointed highlight our struggles and our weaknesses. And that is what I see here. It takes a while to get used to.
I hope that you have a second side benefit. Your English will improve tremendously. Your English will improve tremendously. Yeah. I mean, people in the 17th century read this kind of thing every day. You can also read the King James Bible or the New King James Bible, which will help you with Calvin's language. New King James. It's still like the King James, except a little bit easier, a little bit more modern. Yeah, very similar to the King James Version. Yeah. Any more difficulty? Okay, you find difficulty with the English. Anything else? Any other... the habit of reading the Bible and devotion. Devotion meaning responding in from our hearts. You meditate long? You need to meditate.
Prayer.
For example, it will help you to read that passage in the Psalms, read Calvin, go back to the Psalms, and then ask, well, what is the main point or points? And then repeat those particular lines in the Psalms, turn it into a prayer. Just turn the psalm into a prayer, and then pray. That process of turning the psalm into a prayer is meditation. Meditation is talking to myself about God and about God's word. That's meditation. Because that will involve self-examination. And then hopefully it usually leads to some kind of confession of sin.
把圣经倒过来成为一个祷告，你这个过程就是要省察自己嘛。
Let God speak to me from God's word about me. That is what it means to be 归正或者改革中, self-examination. I mean, when all the big doctrines of Calvinism and so on is brought down to earth, it's basically self-examination and repentance and asking for help and for forgiveness and for more faith to rely on God and so on.
Matthew
Henry or something else. 你就是说当我读的时候，我要问：哎，怎么他看到我没有看到？ 你从这个角度来看，那就进步了。不是说不要直接读圣经，假如你有一天有三个小时读圣经，你去查希腊文、希伯来文， that's fine. 我们没有这个时间了，这个是 shortcut. By the way, 这个只不过是 highlights 而已嘛。我的意思是说， 你用这个来帮助你回去再多读几遍那个经文。你读完这个，你读这个两遍，你读诗篇那段诗篇六次就差不多对了。你看他只他 he point to what are the main points, and these main points how do they relate to my sanctification, to my heart? 他这些 Calvin 跟 Puritan 一定是指我们的心的，我们的内心的。 Let me share with you an experience. For 3 years, I preached to an English congregation of about 100, 200 people. Okay, and that congregation constantly asked me, where's the application of the sermon? I said, I have application every Sunday. How come you don't see the application? Oh, 我懂了. After I left the church, I began to understand. What they want is, tell me, Monday night, I should go to McDonald's with my wife. Tuesday night, I must play soccer with my boy. Wednesday night, I do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But my applications always have to do with the heart. And we Americans, Singaporeans are just like Americans, okay, Christians. We Singaporeans and Americans want surface application, 表面的. But from Calvin and Puritans, the applications always search my heart. But we always gloss over that. Oh, pastor, someone, oh, yeah, time to pray. Let me look at the watch. Oh, time to finish the worship service. You see? But that's how Calvin and the Puritans bring the Bible home to us, to our hearts. So, you know, Puritans, they call this heart work, H-E-A-R-T, heart work. Yeah. 假如我们做 heart work 的话，就不怕被别人带领，还是真的读到圣经。 Because you want the main point of that passage to search your heart. So, 当 Calvin, 不从恶人的计谋，不占先人们的座位，等等等等等等。 你说那我有没有呢？ So immediately you turn it back, right? When the Bible is issuing warning, promise, immediately we ask that God is talking to me. Promise, warning, command, comfort, right? Doctrine. 问题是我们一般呢都习惯一些 stereotype。 假如我们呢，我说很多的基督徒包括牧师们呢，读经讲到最后就是哦，所以呢我们要多祷告，多读经，多爱主，多传福音，多侍奉。 You can bring these five applications out of every passage in the Bible。 多祷告，多读经，多传福音，多侍奉，多爱主。 But the Bible is far more specific than that。 它不是告诉你你每天要读经、祷告、传福音、侍奉等等等等。 He's asking us to bring home the truth of God, His person, His attributes, His promises, His commands, Jesus Christ, His salvation, His provision, the Holy Spirit, and so on. Right? 那个才是灵粮。 And it takes 很难啊，因为we don't live in that kind of world. Right? From the moment you are in touch with your idol, I mean cell phone, I mean idol, I mean cell phone. I mean idol, I-D-O-L, I mean cell phone. Right? To the time you go to bed with your idol, I mean cell phone. I mean, unless you're always, your cell phones always have the RC Sproul or John Frame app or something. All right. We're always thinking about something else. So this is very difficult to do. It's a constant struggle. Nobody, including Calvin, is free from this struggle. Nobody. Even Jesus has to go out somewhere in a way, right? So it's always a struggle to come back to this habit, to let God speak to us. Yeah.
When you say we want God's word to be applied in our heart, to shape our heart into Christ likeness, and in the good old days, there are not many complexity in life. You can see the likeness of Christ in how much you evangelize, how much you read the Bible, how much you pray. But in these days, our lives are very complex. We have different areas of our life. So when the pastor preach, it's good to demonstrate the Christ likeness in the various areas of life, so that the congregation can relate to them, so that we can shape them. That's what I feel of a pastor who preach basically about Christ-likeness in the way of the usual theological way, rather than a pastor who bring an example in life to demonstrate Christ-likeness. That's why I'm trying to portray a different emphasis of pastor in today's preaching. I feel if pastors stick to the old way, just emphasizing on the change of heart as reflected in their spiritual life, you will detach a lot of congregation from life as it's like Christ-likeness.
There's a way to resolve that problem. I prefer the old way of preaching the sermon. What you can do, what churches can do, is after the sermon, a Christian, every Sunday, different Christian goes up there and give a 5-minute testimony. See, this way you preserve the sermon to be solid spiritual food. A little bit of application, that's fine. And then you bring up a Christian to respond. Every Sunday, oh, God spoke to me this way. God led me this. And then the church is alive. So you can still relate the Bible to actual life. But this is pragmatism. It's American philosophy of education. And it's ruining Christianity. We want to be so practical. We don't know what the Bible really says. We don't really know what God is. That's what J.I. Packer says, and other people says, we are weak, we're poor, Puritans are mature. Because they don't have all these stories to...
But could it be a balance? Because you can't always rely on something that is application without knowing the heart.
Yeah. That's why I say... That's fine. You know what Stephen Tong says? I preach for the top 20%. So the top 20% have to help the 80% to come up. Okay? He told me that personally many years ago. And also, as I said, testimonies, real application, every Sunday, 5 minutes, Christians take turn. You have to write it down, okay, and be approved by the pastor ahead of time. And this is what small group is for. Yeah, it doesn't matter. What I'm saying is, that is what small groups, prayer meetings, and testimonies are for. But if the sermon is filled with potato and salad, okay, or noodle, then where's the meat? And I'm afraid there's not enough meat today. And we don't want a sermon that is 90 minutes. Of the 90 minutes, usually, the Puritan sermon, I would say 45 minutes is truth and then 45 minutes application. 18 points. 18 applications to the heart. There are such sermons, but we don't have time for that. We're too impatient. So I've been thinking about this for many, many years. I said, why not have Christians come up and give testimony so that, I mean, you know why the praise team, the contemporary praise and worship is so effective? Because it is a demonstration that the people own the worship service. Well, I want people, ordinary people, to own the worship service. Come up and give testimonies. And the pastors and elders arrange, help them prepare. Okay? And sermons don't have to be long in order for the main points from the Bible to be struck. There are the Puritans, the Calvins, they treat practical problems every week. Every Thursday, Calvin and his elders meet to deal with problems, usually discipline. Okay? And the Puritan pastors visits the people. So the practical issues are dealt with, but it's not during the sermon time. You know, not like your typical famous American pastor. They start with a joke about football, or a story about last week's football, American football. Right? And then they talk about this and that and this and that, and then they finally get a little bit of meat. And again, sometimes I turn on the radio, every sermon, the pastor talks about marriage. Now, I understand it's important things. That's why you need small groups to deal with marriage, counseling, and so on. But if every sermon is about the marriage as application, then something, I mean, the Bible is a lot more about, the Bible tells us how the marriage should honor God and not just have good communication, you know, as an example. Right? I understand that today the effective pastors have either application or humor or it's a wonderful storyteller. That's the American way. And Singapore copied American Christianity 159%. Everything we in America do, you do it with excellence here in Singapore. I mean, Christianity. Yeah. And I'm afraid people say America is how wide and 6 inches deep only. You know, 100 miles wide. 缺乏深度. And evangelical famous pastors struggle with that, I'm sure. They study hard. You know, you name all the famous ones. They all study very hard. They have a lot more to say than what they preach. Everybody, they have just to read some good commentaries. They have lots to say, but they can only do so much. I went to Atlanta, a famous PCA pastor, Randy Pope, big church. I know he prepared one sermon for 2 Sundays, 1 2-point. I know that next week he only preaches half the sermon because that's all that the people can take. But I think we can train the people and raise them up. And then use small groups, use prayer meeting, use testimonies to get people to actually do the hard work and then bring them up to show before the congregation. Okay, God answered my prayer. This is my struggle. This real people. Well, that's my 2 cents worth. Okay, we're going to meet next week again. You know that, right? 2 weeks in a row, and then we're not going to meet for many, many more months. Our next meeting is next week, same time, Tuesday night. I have a choice. It's 9:12. I can briefly introduce a second book. Would you like to do that? Let me do that. Okay. Then next week we can reverse. Spend more time on the second book and less time on Calvin. Now the reason I chose these two books is, as our sister says, as you say, back to the basics. That's why I chose these two books. Devotion and studying the Bible. This book has a table of contents. Let me tell you the special characteristic of this author and the book. First of all, this author is a woman. She is an English professor. I think her father, she doesn't say, I think her father is one of the famous American Reformed theologians, Oliver Buswell. I think she is Oliver Buswell's daughter, which means that she grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, Covenant Seminary, and married this Nielsen, who is either Norwegian or Swedish last name, and ended up teaching in a very Norwegian-Swedish place in America, Minnesota, Bethel College, and ended up in Wheaton, Illinois. So she, Kathleen Buswell Nielsen, is completely soaked in the best of evangelical and the very godly Reformed church, college, and seminary life. Okay. Very few Christians have been privileged to grow up listening to the best sermons, either best Reformed or best Evangelical. Sweden is not a Reformed city, but it has good Reformed people and good Evangelical people teaching at Sweden College. And I think her husband was one of the pastors, maybe an associate pastor, at the college church in Sweden, Illinois, which is right next to the campus. Eventually, her husband became the president of Covenant College in Tennessee, and maybe he's doing something else now. Now, my point is, this book is not written by a pastor. It's not written by a theologian. This book is written by a Christian, not a pastor, not a theologian. She is an English literature professor. So, the book's main thrust is, what is Bible study? What is the Bible and what is Bible study? Only until chapter 6 or 7 does she talk about how to study the Bible. What is the Bible? The Bible is God's Word. The Bible, God speaks to us personally, and therefore we must pay attention to the words. And since she's an English professor, she knows the challenges, the wrong ideas that comes from linguistics and postmodern deconstructionism. She's very sensitive to that, and yet she is steeped in Evangelical and Reformed doctrine. Okay, so she runs between the two. Now, it looks very simple what she says, but for example, this book will be extremely different from, let's say, How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth by Gordon Fee and Douglas Stewart. My favorite target of criticism, right? Yeah. 读经的艺术. Very different, because chapter 1, right away, the Bible is God's Word. God speaks to us, so we need the Holy Spirit's help. But pay attention. Read, reread. Read out loud, she says. Read out that passage several times out loud. And then grab the main idea. Okay? So very, as you say, back to the basic, very basic fundamental, but this is coming from an English professor who knows linguistics and postmodern philosophy, how that is ruining our whole concept of what is Bible study. In the introduction, she says there are three common perceptions today. Number one, let the professionals do all the Bible study. She says, no, don't worship the experts. Second perception about authority. Nobody has the right to act authority over me, so I use my instinct. So to speak, let the Bible speak to me. Let God speak to me directly. Very often, our instinct is to rebel against God. See, a word from God is breaking into our lives, and we're obliged to listen to the Bible. But our culture is listening more and more to voices inside ourselves, which really comes from our postmodern culture. We read words and then say how they make us feel. Read the Bible, she says, with a heart ready to listen and submit. Now that is radical. Now she's responding to American culture, which is exported to Singapore every single minute through your cell phone. Number three, perception about words. Postmodern culture tells us words lack the power to communicate truth. We really understand that coming from the American White House today. We have alternative truths coming out every day from the White House, right? We don't believe words anymore. However, God's word is different. No matter how people lie, okay, God's word is different. So that's the introduction, what's happening. Chapter 1, if the Bible is God speaking, then how should we listen? Starting on page 1. And she tells you that in this book she gave you several truths. I forget, 6 or 7 truths. Truth number 1 is the Bible is God himself speaking. 3 implications. The first implication is the nature of Bible study is personal. Hearing God speak to us. There's work to do, and we learn. But we learn and we work at Bible study in a relationship with God and then with those around us, Christians, who study the Bible together. Too often, the relational elements, you know, we just share, and so on, are separate from serious textual study. We wrongly assume, Americans wrongly assume, that it is more sensitive and fulfilling to talk, to pray, to encourage, to play badminton, than intellectual analysis of words on a page. That is a false dichotomy. Okay, activity, sharing, and then really studying the Bible. Okay, don't make the two opposite. We are trying to know God, okay? Learning, we are learning, we're leaning in. She uses this term, coming, leaning in closer to the breath of God. It's like God breathing. We were created to receive God's words. That's nature of Bible study, to know God. Number two, the goal of Bible study is to know God through listening to Him speak. Number three, our attitude as we study is humility. We should not be too quick to speak ourselves before we have listened well to Him. So, examine the Bible, what God says, rather than simply acknowledge the state of affairs. How can we keep our context and experience from turning into hard interpretive grids? In other words, how can we prevent our feeling, our experience, from becoming the grid, the framework? That's how I'm looking at the Bible. See, we need the Bible to change our grid, change our framework. How can we be more openly open ourselves to become those in whom the Word of God can dwell richly? The most fundamental attitude is humility that fears God and knows the weight of His Word. And then chapter 2 is, if the Bible is powerful, then how should we approach it? Now, I'm not going to read it out for you, but she says that I want a Bible translation that gets me as close as possible to the words that God, by Spirit, led the original writers to write. Now, she's not going to tell you exactly that she doesn't like the NIV, but she says that she uses the ESV. She doesn't quite, you know, come down to say that, because the TNIV is more dynamic equivalent. She says more, okay? But she wants the author to give me a translation and let the commentaries, the footnotes, tell me what those words mean, right? I personally still like the New American Standard more than the ESV, because ESV still does something, I think, that the NIV does, which is, let's, for example, Romans 12:1. Therefore, I appeal to you by the mercies of God. Right? The word therefore is very important. We have to always ask, why is the word therefore there for, right? So you cannot skip the words therefore, for, because, seeing that, just as. Those are very important words, right? The NESV will never skip those words. Yeah, ESV, I think, still does a little bit of it for the sake of letting the main thought stand out. So even though Westminster Seminary professors, well, they help to translate the ESV, and of course they recommend the ESV, and I read the ESV because the Reformation Study Bible comes with the ESV, not because I want to read the ESV. If I had my choice, I'd probably go back to the NESV. Well, since we're running out of time, I'm going to do something that I really should not do, which is I'm going to give you a walking stick, a crutch. Okay, so pass it out. Thanks. This is a summary of introduction, chapter 1, chapter 2 of the book Bible study. Okay, not chapter 3, but only... Oh, sorry, not introduction. I deliberately didn't photocopy that page. Okay, only give you chapter 1 and chapter 2, what I feel are important sentences. Hopefully, when you read chapter 1 and 2, you will see that I have highlighted the appropriate points and not skip anything. Next week, everybody come back ready to share 5 minutes. Okay? From Calvin, mostly. If you want to share from Newton's book, that is fine also. Okay? 3 to 5 minutes, because we're not going to have time for everybody to share 5 minutes. We may do it in small groups. So, next week, I hope that none of you are scared away. Right? You go home with 2 books, read a psalm or two. I'm not demanding that you read the Psalms and Calvin every day, but read enough to come back to share for 3 minutes. The better way to do it is to write down something. Chinese, 没有问题, 你写下来, 你的回应. I know of a young man who became a Christian, I think, 10 years ago. Every day, including his wedding day, he writes notes from his Bible reading. His notes are better than some of those devotional books that we talked about. Every day. And then after marriage, his wife started doing the same thing. They live in Germany. They're from China. Okay. Today he's studying theology on the internet. Because he's preaching already. In Europe, there are not enough preachers in these campus towns. So he would need to preach at least once a month. So take some notes. Maybe this Saturday, this Sunday, you can read a couple of readings from Calvin. Read a psalm or two. Read some Calvin. And then take some notes. Or better yet, take a few notes, and then on Tuesday, we're coming back Tuesday, right? On Monday, you let it soak. 浸一下, 浸麻个, okay? Like beans, let it soak. Don't soak your cell phone, though. and then on Monday night, you look at just quickly look it over again. After 24 hours, then write down something more. Then on Tuesday, you're ready to share. You know, I find that it's very helpful. 1 or 2 days. Sleep on it, as we say in America. Sleep on it. Pastor Lee White, could you please respond a little bit to what we have done this evening? What we have done and your couple of observations. Okay, I'll tell you first what we've done. We asked everybody to spend 10 minutes reading Calvin, right? And then asked you to do small group discussion and asked you about difficulties. And then we shared and so on and so on. What's the significance of what we've done? What's the nature of what we've done? Or even, why did I do this? Why did we put this together like this?
Well, okay, I think as church, if I'm saying this gathering or this form of a gathering from perspective of pastor, I think it is a good start. A good start for us to cultivate the habit of reading. Okay, that's the first thing that we would like to achieve. Number two is that we are able to discover more how lacking it can be, right? Especially on practical subjects like Psalms, even the person of John Calvin. I think today is a good discovery. It's never too late for it to start. I believe that if we can press on and start reading even a light materials, as such, I believe we'll be able to be enriched further. At the same time, this is going to be a good opening to more good stuff in the reforms materials. So I think today is good. It's a good start. Yeah, that's what I can do.
I hope you go away making some small, reachable goals. 能做得到的一些的目标. Okay, let's pray together. Father, we're grateful that in our Lord Jesus Christ you've given us so much. As our Creator, our Redeemer, you provide everything necessary for our sanctification and our walk in this world toward our heavenly city. We struggle, we sin, we're weak, our faith is often faltering, and you put us in this world with difficulties, sickness, crises, temptations, and we ask you to again do what you promised to do. Help us as we realize how much we need you. But you have promised that the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts and will help us, will guide us, will shine his searchlight into our hearts. So do your good work and point us to who you are and what you are doing inside our hearts more regularly than perhaps than before. We're grateful for the freedom and opportunity, the time, brief as it is, that we spend together. Make your truths from your own word stick in our hearts. Give us the grace of meditation. Thank you. You never change. You're a faithful God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.